Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the B4 podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And today is week 2 of Advent.
Yeah, we're continuing our discussion that is matching up with the Advent devotional that we produced as a church and that we hope you're following along with. So yeah, week 2.
I'm so excited for this week because there's a passage that I am like so pumped to talk about. But before we get there, give me the overview of week 2. What are we looking at?
Week 2. So in week 2, we are going basically from the story of Moses to the book of Judges. So we're picking up with, most of the sections actually start with a story about a baby because that's how most sections of Israelite history, like a new period, and there's a story about a baby.
Yeah.
So we get the story of Moses in the basket, then the burning bush, followed by a very fun story about the Israelites wanting some food and how God deals with that. And then we have Joshua's speech once they actually make it into the promised land. And the beginning of the book of Judges, where it's kind of where they ended that period of history. Mm-hmm. So some fun stuff, some very familiar stories, but also some that maybe aren't quite as familiar. But you are chomping at the bit.
What is your favorite story, Alex?
Okay,
it's interesting. So when you speak a lot, you don't remember like 90% of the stuff you shared, right?
Yes.
If you were to like quote me on this podcast, from like year ago, I have no idea what I said.
Yeah,
right?
Nope.
But I have my own personal like favorite sermon of Alex ever.
You're allowed to have it.
And it's really because this idea, and it's not that the sermon was good, but it's this idea that I learned in the process of writing it clicked for me. And again, it changed my life. So,
passage?
So in Wednesday, December 8th, there's this crazy—
Tomorrow.
Yeah. There's this crazy section in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. I'm going to read it because why not?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. It starts this, which is so good. The rabble with them
begins. That starts with the rabble has to be fun.
The rabble. It's like a band name, a bad 90s grunge band.
Feel free to take that for your band if you're looking for a title.
The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.
I can kind of hear them saying, this godforsaken manna.
Yeah. This miracle bread from heaven.
That we loathe.
That they can't stand anymore. Okay, so let me break it down really simply. What's happening in the backdrop of this story and why I think this is fascinating and why it connects to my life and my world and our world today. Israel has been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been longing, which is again the theme of this devotional, to be delivered.
Yes.
Right? And God does it.
Yes. Thank you, Moses.
From miraculous displays of power.
All those plagues.
The whole world knows something insane happened in Egypt and God loves this group of people and he's rescuing them, right? Like, crazy things like even parting a sea and them walking across on dry land.
We've seen a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, it all just happened before this verse. It's not like it's like, 200 years ago, our forefathers. It's like, no, everyone alive here.
Yeah, you walked through the water.
All of it.
You've seen the manna.
Yeah, and then they get
water from a rock.
Then they get to this like desert in preparation for this promised land, which that in and of itself is a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about longing and over again, people go through their own personal desert season or their wilderness.
God really likes the scenic route.
He really likes to take people in preparation in hard seasons, before taking them into a promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of God are there. They're in the wilderness. And like, there's not much to eat in a wilderness, right?
No, not really.
So he, out of nowhere, makes bread show up.
Yes.
You know, and then—
Which is called, it's manna, which in Hebrew is literally, what is it?
Exactly. They don't even know what it
yeah,
is. They've
like,
never seen it before.
Is.
It's, you know, it arrives miraculously. He tells them what to do with it, right? But they're tired of it because they've had manna bread and manna stew and manna pudding and manna cakes and all, like everything is manna. But it's only supposed to be for a season, right?
Right?
They're supposed to know that this is for a short season, but a promised land flowing with milk and honey is coming. And so, but they can't handle that. There's no patience in the waiting. There's no bigger picture vision of what God has in trust that he's actually going to deliver them there.
They're hangry in a weird way.
In a really weird way. They're super discontent. And so they grumble. You know, that's why they're called the rabble, by the way, is because they just groan and grumble and complain about their current state, even though God has made a promise that there's something better around the corner. That's a word for us today.
Yeah, I was going to say, haven't we all done that?
Yeah. haven't we done that? Aren't we doing that today?
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. I'm tired of the mask. I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired. Yep. And I can't wait till we get to. And so it's a good lesson for us to learn. But what's so interesting is that they say, we remember the meat we ate in Egypt at no cost.
When they were slaves.
For 400 years.
For 400 years.
No cost though.
No, no cost besides, you know, every day of your life not being your own.
Yeah. So back to my sermon, the one that like light bulb moment, I realized that people will always be tempted by the thing we can't have.
Yep.
It's a
principle.
Even
if we didn't like the thing when we had it.
Yes. We always think the grass is greener on the other side. And I am so guilty of that. When things get hard, I dream about moving to Arizona. Or when they, you know, when yes. things get hard, I dream about a new career. Or mm-hmm. I, you know, there are these moments that I feel like I am tempted by the same thing.
Yeah.
And so what's super interesting here is that these people collectively have forgotten God's faithfulness, God's provision, and God's deliverance in like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is super cool is that if you keep reading the story, this is another thing that captured my heart, is that yes, there's some discipline for this behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you fast forward the story, God begins to create all of these festivals, these parties, mm-hmm. because he knows that people will always be tempted by the thing that we don't have. So he teaches us how to be grateful for the things that mm-hmm. we do have.
And to remember what he's already done.
Yep. We as people forget so easily, so we need things, we need to be reminded of the things of God.
Yeah.
So that's why this is whole sect. It reminds me in this Advent season to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most repeated command in the Bible and it's connected to do not be afraid, but it's to remember. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember what he promised he would do and remember that he's always faithful to do those things. The other side of that is to be like them, the rabble,
mm-hmm.
and to groan and complain and completely forget all that you've been through and to like want leeks. What guy ever wanted leeks? You know what I mean? Like to want onions and garlic and all of those things when God has something even better prepared for you. So this is why my heart jumps at the story and what I wanted to share. What about you?
Well, before we move on, I do like God's sense of humor in this story too, because he actually gives them what they want.
Yes.
And one of my favorite lines is, hold on, I gotta find it for a second. He said, I am going to give you, you're not going to eat meat just for 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you rejected the Lord who's among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt?
Yeah.
So I just appreciate God's sense of humor and parenting style in this particular story because I find it funny and it's such a like vivid picture of what happens when God actually sometimes gives us what we want.
Well, I think it's a severe mercy when we ask for something and we want it and we're daydreaming about it and God doesn't give it to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes the very thing we want the most is the thing we need the least.
Yeah.
And I think in this story, God shows us, okay, fine, have what you want. And this happens yep. over and over again. And this is important to talk about in regards to longing, because mm-hmm. at one point, and this is coming up in weeks to come, Israel will long for a king.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is like, no, I'm your king. And they're like, no, we want a human king. And he goes, okay, this is what's going to happen when you have yep. one. He's going to rule you in a way you don't want to be ruled. And guess what happens?
Exactly that.
Exactly that. And so that is an important lesson to learn in the longing, mm-hmm. that there may be things in this current moment that you want, and it is God's mercy that he's yeah. not given it to you.
And unfortunately, we don't usually get to see the side of like how that worked in hindsight. And there's some things I think we don't ever get to see the side of heaven, but it is a good lesson for us to learn.
I do think most of those things, though, if you submit and you wait and you don't grasp after and rabble, you know, whatever, you get to look back and go, I'm so thankful I didn't get that thing that I mm-hmm. wanted so bad. I think that's a reoccurring theme of something we learn in the Bible mm-hmm. as well. What about you? Yeah. Okay, tell me this week, what is the story that has jumped out of the pages for you?
In general, I like this week because I like mm-hmm. the story of the nation of Israel. So it actually was a little hard for me to pinpoint what scriptures to pick for this particular week because there's a lot of things to choose from.
How did you do that?
I just tried to pick what I thought were high points, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like, okay, obviously we end up with baby Moses. I almost said baby Jesus. Wrong baby.
Sweet
wrong
baby
person. Because like I said, each section seems to start with birth announcements and miraculous things with babies. But then after that, it was like, okay, well, obviously we have to have Moses being called or else that doesn't make any sense. And this was actually the story that you mentioned was one where it was like, we hadn't had an example in the first week, mm-hmm. but we have them in all the other ones or at least this one and the next one, here's an example of what happens when you have a wrong longing, because not every longing that we have is good. So I had to pick one of those.
Right.
And I just, again, the meat coming out of the nostrils is just great. So that made it in there for that reason.
That was wise of you, by the way. I think, no, seriously, like pick the stories you picked, and then specifically picking one where the longing that is mm-hmm. in the hearts of the people is actually not the best thing for them.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. It's an important lesson for us to all wrestle with.
Well, it's one I had to teach myself. So that's how it ended up in the book. And I think then we have Joshua, the end of Joshua. Like, we could have read a lot of things about Joshua, and I mm-hmm. highly recommend, it's a fun book if you like reading about battles and weird things.
Yeah.
Joshua and Judges, actually. But just to kind of picking passage that kind of gave the high points of those and like overviews of what was happening in the book without having to pick individual stories.
Yeah.
Since those are, besides the Jericho thing, Joshua and Judges are a little less common of people being familiar with the stories in those particular books. But I honestly think my favorite one this time is actually Exodus 3. Mm. When God appears to Moses and it's funny that you mentioned the command to remember. It's interesting that that word is used of God a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
So in Exodus 3, God says to Moses, I've remembered my people.
Wow.
And now I'm going to go and I'm going to act on their behalf. And next week you'll see that there's another story of God remembering someone. And it's kind of this common theme that, and it's not that God has forgotten them and like wasn't thinking about mm-hmm. them. That's how we usually think about the word remember in English. But in Hebrew, it's more of this idea of I've brought this to the forefront of my mind and I'm ready to do something about it.
Or that it's time to do something.
Right. The time is right. And now this is the moment to act. And so I think just the way that God shows compassion to the people and their situation in Egypt.
Yeah.
And the fact that he plans out, he does this extravagant thing for them, which we don't read about in the devotional, but watch the movie The Prince of Egypt. It's great. with all of the plagues and being able to see, like, here's a God that, again, longs for these people and longs to fulfill his promises to these people enough that he's going to do all these miraculous things. He's going to have all these plagues. He's going to bring them through a sea. He's going to give them manna. He's going to give them water from a rock. There's a pillar of cloud by day and one by fire at night.
Right.
All of these things just to display his love and his care to them.
Yeah.
And I think for people who maybe are stuck in a difficult season, like obviously the Israelites being enslaved, that's a difficult season.
Yeah.
Knowing that even if, again, even if you don't see God working in this moment, that he hasn't forgotten you.
Absolutely.
And the moment when he's going to quote unquote remember you and act on your behalf, like that is actually coming and it is on the way.
Isn't there a theme in these stories about timing?
Yeah.
You know, as hard as a season of enslavement in Egypt is, what is fascinating is that in those 400 years, the people of God are, you know, they're incubated in Israel. Sorry, in Egypt. There's 60, 70, maybe 100 of them when they go. By the time they leave, there's millions of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't take the promised land with 100 people. So it's fascinating, not that God created the conditions of suffering, but that he worked through the brokenness of the world and still found a way to move his story forward, his purposes forward. But the timing of that was drastically different than what I'm sure people wanted.
Yes. And that also is a very common theme in this devotional, but also just a common theme in the biblical story of things never move at the pace we want them to.
Yeah.
And God is on a whole, God time is very different than people time. Yeah. He even tells us that.
Well, you also have to think like God time, you know, God is out of time. He created it. And therefore, God time is just a different thing. Like we think of time from a linear start to finish thing. He's outside of the lines.
Yeah, he's playing three-dimensional chess.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can only see the two.
Right. And again, like while that doesn't all make sense to us, it is from the depth of our soul a cry to have faith and trust him. I think that's such a cool story.
Yeah, and I just the continued pattern of God's faithfulness even after things seem to be taking such a really long time or even when people are in the most hopeless of circumstances.
Yeah.
I think that's really encouraging, particularly in the Advent Christmas season, because I think for some people, and I know this has been true for me in parts of my life, where Christmas is a reminder of something that hasn't happened yet. And it's just like, crap, I thought by Christmas this year, this thing would be different. It feels like nothing's moving and nothing's changing. I think it's comforting to be able to read so many stories of people who had to walk through that same experience, but at the end, God was faithful to them.
Yeah.
And the thing that they were longing for, it didn't come in the time they wanted, but it did actually come.
Well, and that's,
it was being worked on the whole time.
Yeah. Like, so one of the things, you know, the story that I pointed out, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic, you know, meat.
Weird combination of food.
Yeah. But like all of those things were things waiting for them in the promised land.
Yeah.
That's what I find so fascinating is
plus
God,
milk and honey.
Yeah. God, I mean, God promised a land without lack for them. And so it wasn't that their longing for those things was necessarily like God didn't have that in mind for them.
Right.
But the journey there was going to be different than what they wanted. And, you know, that story is repeated all over the Bible. It's like God, before God says, you don't have a king of Israel, he creates in the law how the king should rule Israel. And so it's not as if there was never a plan for it. It's that the Israelites weren't ready for it yet.
Yeah.
So this is just a story of our lives as well. It's not as if the thing that God has promised you isn't a good thing, and it isn't, it shouldn't be something you long for, but there is something in the waiting that's necessary for you. And God knows what that is, not me and not you, but I at least know there's enough of those in my life, and you do as well, that it's worth trusting, however hard that can be.
Well, and if we think about a bigger picture that like Satan's big temptation of Jesus is to get the right thing
at the wrong
time.
Yeah.
And so, and that again, consistent story across scripture is trying to grasp or grab something that we're not quite ready for yet. But yeah, I think, those stories are
Moses, like he was supposed to be the deliverer of Israel, right?
He tries to do it a little too soon,
you know? And,
yeah.
you know, what is it? Like 40 years later, he comes back. So clearly it wasn't time for him. He had something to learn. I mean, that's a common theme, but this was fun. I think I'm going to enjoy looking back on these episodes, because as devotional reading, all of this is just devotional listening, you know, for lack of a better term. But our hope really is to, I guess, be inspiration as you're writing, to think about different ways to think about these passages, you know. And you're going to hear a little bit about our experience with them, but our hope is that we will someday collect the stories of all of your experiences through this season
and
as well.
We hope this is an encouragement too of like what it can look like with your own family or with friends or the small group or whatever, some person you randomly sit next to on a Sunday morning. That's also fine. Of just being like, hey, like what did you find that was most helpful or meaningful or confusing or whatever? And just kind of start those conversations, because I think we learn as much from each other's perspectives in those moments sometimes as we do in reading the scriptures themselves.
I know I've learned from you today and just listening to you share, and so proof to the pudding. That's exactly the point of this. So.
And it's just fun.
It is fun.
We like fun.
It's fun conversation. So, all right, send us off, Ashley.
Yeah, well, if you'd like to have more of these fun conversations, we are continuing them for the next, I think, 4 weeks. Our last one will be the first week of January. And each week, we're just going to talk about the next week in the Advent devotional. So if you want to make sure you don't miss any of those conversations, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. We will, in fact, also have links in the show notes if you're having trouble finding us on either of those platforms where you can actually subscribe, because then it's easy. They just pop up in your podcast platform and you don't even have to find them. Also, if you haven't yet, you can feel free, if we still have physical copies available, to grab one if you're here for services on a Sunday or a Thursday. They should be located in the info center. If we run out of physical copies, or if you prefer to be cool and electronic, we also have them available on our website. So we hope you'll check that out and will join with us in this Advent journey. We will see you guys next week. Merry Christmas.